No, auntie, I have one thing. Auntie, did you get it this week?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So today, what's that? Talk about biblical understanding of pain in our lives. And the thing that has been on my mind lately has been pain. Really. And so this morning I thought we would seek to get biblical understanding of pain. Okay. Now, you might think, why do we need to talk about pain? As Christians, we are blessed, right? Because of our faith in Jesus Christ and our sins have been forgiven, why do we need to talk about pain? But you have noticed that we are not blessed. We are not blessed with having to never go through pain, the same pain as even unbelievers go through, right? We all go through pain and difficulties just like others face. Christians still have bad marriages, right? They go through financial difficulties too. Just because they are Christian doesn't mean that they don't lose jobs. Physical suffering, okay? And we do get sick. Right? Even though we're Christians, we do get sick. We can meet with an accident, right? Just like everyone else. So, we are not immune. Christians are not immune to sicknesses or diseases like cancer or even natural calamity, if for that matter, or financial failures. So, we go through pain. It can be emotional pain. It can be psychological pain. It can be physical pain, you know, and, you know, they come in very different shapes and sizes and circumstances, right? But the point is that it is inevitable. Pain is inevitable. Jesus said this in John 16:33. This is a beautiful passage. You know, he did not promise a rose carpet life, that once we become Christian, that's what we're going to have. No. He said, I have told you this so that through me you may have peace. In the world, you will have trouble. In the world, talking about this world, you will have trouble. But be courageous. That's his counsel. But be courageous. I have overcome the world. But also one more thing he promises. Right? He says, I have told you this so that through me you may have peace. So in trouble, we can have peace because we know that God is in control. We need to understand biblical perspective on pain, and that is that pain of life is, first point, is inevitable. It is certain for anyone. You know, none of us deliberately looks for pain, obviously, right? Nobody wants to go through and they're not looking for pain in daily life, right? At the most, I mean, we all do our best to avoid pain, isn't it? We all want to avoid pain. But the thing is that pain is an important part of a spiritual development.
Yeah.
Many times, think about it in physical life itself. We choose, we know it is painful, but we still choose that. For example, look at the issue of human birth. Every mother knows that the process is going to be very painful, right? Giving birth is painful, but they still give birth, right? So we are not looking for pain, but we understand that something good comes out, right? Always. So let's look at a couple of points that I want to, you know, we want to realign our thoughts with God's thought and have God's perspective on pain. Because honestly, today people, when they go through pain, they curse God, you know, and they blame God, and they say all sorts of things, you know, where are you, who, you know, you don't exist, you know, I'm going through this. And then people think that they are the only ones that are going through pain. That's another problem, you know, biggest problem, because people think that I'm the only one in the entire universe that is facing this particular problem. Not knowing that there are people who are facing worse problem than, and pain than you and I can imagine, right? So the first point that we should understand is, just because we are God's people, we are not exempted from this thing called pain, okay? Pain is, in this life, is certain. Job said this in Job 14:1, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Few days as in his lifespan, considered as few days. Okay. He lived 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, whatever. And it is full of trouble, because you know why? If you come out of one trouble, you're going to get into another one. It's waiting, right? And small, big, and it's going to happen, right? So this is part of life. It's part of life. Okay. Ecclesiastes 2:23, Solomon said, "For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This is also vanity." So believers, we need to understand that Bible doesn't teach health, wealth, prosperity gospel. No, it doesn't. But it clearly teaches that pain is part of life, even Christian life. So here's the question. The question is never, will we have pain? The question is never, will we have pain? But rather, how will we deal with pain that life brings? See, the thing is, how we think makes a huge difference. Yes. How we think makes a big difference. It affects our behavior, our attitude towards life, towards God, towards everything. How we think about pain and how to deal with it will affect our behavior and attitude and perspective. Okay? So, having settled one thing, that pain is certain. Different for different people, right? Here's the second point. And this is very important. All pain in life is deserved. Let me explain what it means. You know, when we think, many people think, that God owes us a good life. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? Especially when you're in pain or, you know, going through something. I don't deserve it. That's our first reaction. I don't deserve it. Okay? The word deserve basically means to be worthy. So most people think that God owes us something. God owes us happiness. God owes us health and wealth and a good life. And they completely forget that human race has been separated from God because of their sin. Look at the Romans 3:10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have read this verse many times, right? We know. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, which this means that God is righteous and holy and man is not, right? So what does man deserve? Good? No, right? He deserves, and I deserve, and we all deserve anger of God, right? Look at Genesis 2:17. Now, here's the point where it started, right? We know that. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, and God told them not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and if you do that, you will surely die. And we know that God kept his word, because they disobeyed God's command. And this is what happens when you disobey God. Well, consequences is going to be there, right? God can forgive you, but consequences are going to be there, right? And here's the consequences. God did not say, oh, I'm merciful, okay, fine, it's okay, okay, I'll wink over it, and it's okay, fine. Next time, don't do that, okay? Second time, tree of knowledge, I'm telling you this, don't do that. It's not like that, right? God keeps his word. He says, hey, you do this, this is going to happen, and you bear the consequences. And the consequences here in Genesis 3:16, it's pain. Pain. He told the woman, I'll greatly increase the pain of your labor during childbirth. It will be painful for you to bear children. So isn't that so true? What is this? It's part of curse, right? When the child labor takes place, what happens? It's a reminder. It's the reminder of curse, right? That man has disobeyed God, right? And this is in effect right now. Okay? When this child labor, I say, or child birth. I say, sorry, child birth. No. And then he said, it will be painful for you to bear children. Your trust turns toward your husband, yet he will dominate you. He told the man, now this is to the man, because you have listened to what your wife said and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. You'll eat from it through pain-filled labor for the rest of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants from the meadows. You will eat food by the sweat of your brow until you are buried in the ground, because you were taken from it. You are made from dust, and you return to dust. So we see this, right? That we deserve pain, right? Because of sin in the world, right? We do not, the thing is that we don't deserve one moment of happiness. So if we understand that, then we will never point a finger at God. What we deserve is wrath, judgment. You know, the reason I'm saying this is because there is a lot of today, a lot of prosperity gospel going around. And not only that, but there are a lot of motivational speakers, Christian motivational speakers, who have an unbelievable perspective. And I'm going to quote one guy, Zig Ziglar, all right? He's a Christian, successful motivational speaker. And this is what he says, quote, as you accept yourself, you will see yourself as a person who truly deserves the good things in life.
Oh my goodness.
You know? And they also say that if something bad is happening in your life, it is because you don't have faith. Mm-hmm. You're not genuine. Or you are not mature. That is all wrong. It's not biblical at all. Romans 1:18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." So God's wrath in the Bible is never irritable and self-indulgent. Or, "I'm gonna show," you know, kind of thing, you know. He's never, his judgment, his wrath is always injustice. Okay, he gives exactly what is deserved, not more than what you deserve. Alright? So God is fair. Okay? But at the same time, he got to judge, right? Because he's holy, right? We always give the example, right? That a father, if a father is a judge, courtroom judge, okay, and a son is in the court, you know, guilty of some crime, just because he's judge, he cannot let his son go. Right? Justice has to judge, no matter who he is, right? Yeah, let's say the judge gives, just says, "Okay, you have to pay a lakh rupee as the fine," all right? And the child cannot pay that. But a judge has to pronounce that. But as a loving father, he can come and pay and help him out, right? But he cannot say, "Okay, you're my son. Fine, go ahead." No, it doesn't. Because justice doesn't work like that. In the days of Noah, just like in the days of Noah, even today, through the ages, it's been the same thing. Genesis 6:5. "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So this tells us, right? The only thing that God owes us is wrath, actually. But you know what? We think that God owes us good. He should be giving us good. This is not correct. This is not right. If we have that kind of mentality, then it's going to be a big trouble. In fact, we should be thanking God for every day, for the very breath that we are breathing. Let's look at the third point. The first point was, it's certain. And second was, pain is deserved. Yes. Third, all, now here's the thing. This is where people really miss out on things. They think that pain, when it comes in their life, God has no control over it. It has actually bypassed God and come to me. God has nothing to do with it. So the third point is, all pain is sovereignly administered. What do I mean by that? Well, God is sovereign over our pain. It doesn't mean that God is forgotten. Well, God has a purpose, right? Remember that. So, our stability, remember this, our stability is related to the attitude that we have. Our stability is related to the attitude we have. It is not related to our circumstances. It is related, when I say attitude, stability is related to that, I mean to say it is not related to circumstances, it is related to how we think. How we think. You know, I don't know if you heard this many times, you know, people saying, "If God loves me, why am I suffering?" It's a very common question from ages. But someone said this, the real difficult question is not, listen to this, how could God allow us to suffer? The real difficult question is not how could God allow us to suffer, but how he could allow us who rebel against his authority every day ever to experience pleasure. How about that? So the mystery is why God would allow pleasure in the lives of those who hate him and disobey him. Ephesians 1:11, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. So if we are Christians, we are following the Lord, nothing happens in your life by chance. It is by the counsel of His will. Now you might say, no, come on, how can that be? Well, we can validate that point by looking at the examples in the scriptures. Does this thing happen in the scripture? Yes. Look at Genesis chapter 45 verse 4. Now we're talking about Joseph. Everybody knows Joseph's story. Do you believe that he went through a lot of pain?
Yes.
And trouble and affliction and tribulations, right? Do you believe also that he was a very righteous man? He loved God, obeyed God, and he hated sin. So, who should ask this question? Who should ask this question? God, why are you allowing suffering in my life? You or me or Joseph? But let's see what Joseph has to say. It says, and Joseph said unto his brethren. Now this is the time when he is revealing himself to his brethren. This is the climax at the end. Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here. Now here's the next statement. This gives us insight into the mind of this amazing man of God. For God did send me. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Like 40 years before, God made this event. Joseph did not know, his brothers did not know, whole of Egypt did not know, Pharaoh did not know that one day God was preparing him one day to save Israel from famine and his whole family. Now at that point of time when he was sold in Egypt, who would think?
Yeah.
The only thing would come like, why me? Why me? Like, what did I do? Right? So we don't know how God works. We don't
yes.
know. Right? We cannot take bad things that happen supposedly to us and think that God is nowhere in the scene. Verse 7. And God, again he says, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me, but God. And how fast we are, right, to blame people. Because if you're wrongdoing, I am suffering. Right? If because you did not take care of responsibility, I'm suffering. But the thing is, look at this. Where is God in that picture? Yes, I don't disagree. People's negligence or, wrong choices, right? And we face trouble for someone's wrongdoing. But that does not mean God is not in charge, right? God, he says, but God. And he had made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all of his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Another example I can quickly give you, Job. What about Job? Job was a righteous man. I mean, he hated evil. That's how it starts, right? In verse 3 it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and hates evil. Now, how can something wrong happen to this kind of a person who is upright and fears God and hates, eschewed evil, meaning he hates evil? And still he holds fast his integrity. And we know what Satan said. Hey, you destroy skin for skin. Okay, if you destroy and
that's
bring
his body,
and he is going to curse you. Well, what does Satan do? In verse 6, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Okay, don't kill him, but you can do whatever you want to. God allowed him to do that. Okay, so when Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils, from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Ah, that's ouch. I don't know, I've never been to that situation. Alright, but I'm sure it is painful. It says clearly, from the sole of his foot unto his head. The whole body is full of boils. That is painful. That is pain every single minute. He can be in a good position to say, why me, God? Where are you? You know, I'm doing everything right, lived right, and this is what I get. But see, what is his confession from his mouth? And this is very important. You know, when we go through pain, what comes out of our mouth is very important. Is it complain? Is it God, blaming God, people? We can do all sorts of communication can come out, right? Because pain brings the worst in us. But let's look at Job, what he says. Verse 10, but he said unto her, this is his wife saying, curse God and die, right? And he says, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaks. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? What a perspective. So he understands that if God gives me good things in life and I'm happy and thank God, but then when he brings bad things in my life, why should I blame him? Why should I not thank him and praise him too? I love this last phrase. In all this. Now when it says in all this, it is everything. He lost his children. He lost his house. He lost his wife. No, wife was it, sorry. His property, cattle, everything. And he's full of boils through the body. And he says in all this, in this situation, in all these things, Job did not sin with his lips. With his lips. Third and last example. Apostle Paul. Now he is an apostle, and he was given a lot of revelation, right, about future things. He was caught up in the third heaven, it says, and God revealed him a lot of things. So he had a lot of knowledge. But God gave him something painful. To Apostle Paul. Look at 2 Corinthians 12:4. How that he was caught up into paradise, that is in the third heaven, and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest, why? He gives reason, lest I should be exalted above measure. So Paul was given some kind of thorn in the flesh. Now literal thorn, he's not talking about literal thorn, but some kind of pain that was continuously in his life, which kept him humble. So he has a good reason, right? Pain can humble us, right? Keep us in humble state. So, which brings from the last and fourth point? What is that? Pain always has a purpose in our lives. Purpose. There is a purpose. It's not just without any point. Okay. So, in closing, we'll just go through quickly 5-7 points on what could be the purpose of our lives. All right. What would be the purpose in our life? What is pain's purpose in our life? It could be few of these, it could be one of these, it could be all of these, depending on people, depending on circumstances, depending on situations and afflictions. Okay, but here's the first one. Pain can be a warning sign. Okay. What do I mean by that? Well, warning sign that, number one, either I'm living in sin. Now, this is not always the case. Okay, so don't think that if you are in trouble that you are living in sin or something. All right, it could be one. All right, sin. It could be a warning sign that I am living carelessly. Mm-hmm. Right? People face problems many times because of their carelessness. They're not vigilant. Third, it could be a warning that I am living a neglected lifestyle. I'm neglecting my responsibilities, right? It could be that. It could be a warning sign for that. That I live frivolously, carelessly, and I neglect, or I'm living in disobedience or sin. So it's a warning sign. Like, look at 1 Corinthians 11:29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, talking about the Lord's Supper here, and brings judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, for this reason, because they were living in disobedience here, and they were not taking the Lord's table in a worthy manner, he's saying, because of this reason, many are weak. Now, is this talking to Corinthian church? Many in the members in the church of Corinthians were weak, physically weak, and were sick among you, and many sleep. Meaning sleep means they were struck dead. Why? He gives the reason why. Right? Because they took the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Now, what was that? Could be their lifestyle, could, you know, be sin in their life, and they're still coming for the Lord's Supper, alright, and all those things. Romans 13:12. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So pain can come as a result of not living in submission, which is sin, or negligence, or irresponsibility, or carelessness. So it's a warning. Be careful and make changes if we need to, right? Second point. The second purpose could be, pain helps to mature us in a practical Christian lives. You know, God uses pain as a training tool. As a training tool. In Hebrews 12, it says, verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. The word chasten means disciplines. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges. Ooh, that is pain. Scourges every son whom he receives. So the word chastening here is the word, Greek word paideia, which means education or training. Disciplinary correction. So God uses suffering and pain to help us grow in our Christian life. So here's the second purpose. Third, pain can wean us off from depending on ourselves and depending on God. Okay? Self-reliance. 2 Corinthians 1:9. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. I don't know about you, but when I was sick, man, when I would remember God every day, right? Every minute, please God, and right? But everything is going good. You know, everything is fine. You know, we don't think about God at all, right? Here and there. But in the pain, man, the only thing that we can think of is God. So God needs to bring us to a place every time that to make us realize that, hey, you, there is great someone greater than you. Mm. Greater than you. Okay. Fourth point. Our pain can be our testimony. Here's the thing, but it depends on how we handle. So if we handle our pain and suffering joyfully and with stability, joyfully means, you know, you're not dancing. Like, you know, I'm going through suffering, amazing. It's not what it's talking about, right? But joyfully means that you're not a complainer. Okay, you're not blaming God or you're not blaming others, or you have a good spirit. Not necessarily you are happy. Obviously, it's going to be sad moment. It's going to be painful moment. So we cannot go against our emotion. Okay, those are very realistic things, right? But we approach things with a good attitude, knowing that God is in charge, with a stable mind, with a sober mind. Look, Philippians 1:12, Paul said this. You know, Paul went through a lot of trouble, and in this place he's put into jail because of preaching the gospel. And he says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things that which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So the bad thing that happened to me actually turned out for good. The gospel is being preached, because you know what? The jailer knows the gospel now, and the prisoner knows the gospel, and all around Philippi church area knows why Paul is there and the gospel is being preached. Now it could be different for different people, right? And the fifth, our pain helps us to develop our capacity and sympathy in comforting others. Isn't it? This is so true. Because if I don't go through something, I think, like, you know, the person who's going through, he's just acting up. He's doing too much. Right? But one day, when we are hit with the same kind of thing, we realize, man, that guy, he really went through, man. And we really understand, right? We really understand that. And we can sympathize with people and we can comfort people. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation or troubles, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation or encouragement also abounds through Christ. So God uses pain in our lives for the benefit of others, when you can encourage people and help them when they are going through the problems. Last two, pain, affliction, tribulation reveals our spiritual need. Psalm 119:67 said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. I was going astray. It's like a child, you know, he goes astray. When he gets some spanking, solid spanking, then he says, oh, I realize, and I keep the word now. Okay. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. When is this now? Well, after he was afflicted, right? He understood. So here's a man who is enjoying considerable material prosperity, probably satisfying, and you know, unless he understands, till he understands that he is spiritually bankrupt. 2 Corinthians 12:7, same example of Paul we just read, a thorn in the flesh. Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and that is for one reason. To maintain a spirit of humility and dependence on God. So it could be, the purpose of pain could be, one of the purpose of the pain could be that God would keep us humble and trusting in Him rather than in ourselves. And the last one, we'll close with this. We go through pain sometimes. One of the purpose means to bring glory to God. Now, in this case, in John chapter 9, there is a man who is blind from birth. Alright? And It says in chapter 9, verse 1, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So, see, the disciples did not understand here. They're saying, why this guy is blind? Did he sin or because his parents? And Jesus answers and says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. So he's saying this is not because of sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus tells them that the man was blind, not because either he or his parents sinned, but rather that God might be glorified through healing this man. So here we find comfort in our pain. So remember, all pain is designed to glorify God. And you know the famous verse, Romans 8:28, we know that all things worked together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Here's the thing. So going through this purpose of pain, we can see that nothing bad will ever happen to us actually. We think that is the bad that is happening to us, but actually, if you see from the other perspective, nothing bad is happening to us, but actually it's happening something good to us. Although the situation is bad,
yes,
but it's good. See, this is a godly mindset. This is a biblical mindset. This is God. You know, Jesus, God said, right? My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways. Right? So his ways are way greater than our ways. So we started the message with, but in this world, we are going to have pain. We are going to have pain. All right? If you're not going through, it will come. Right? Small, big, whatever. Right? But in the world to come, God promises there is going to be no pain. So that's what we are looking for, forward to. Okay? Revelation 21:3-4. And we'll close this verse. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. This is and be their God." So this is the climax, that God is going to come to the earth and dwell with men. And his dwelling place will be with men on this earth. Nobody's going to heaven, we know that. God is coming here. Okay? And God, so where God is present, there's not going to be pain and sorrow, right? He says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." So in this world you will have trouble, but in the world to come, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are past. So here's the understanding, biblical understanding and reaction and attitude towards pain that we should have, trouble, whatever it might be. I'll close here. And if you have any more insight, you can share.